show today. We have Cornerstone Advisors' very own Ryan Rackley talking about contract negotiations. What you don't know can hurt you. So check it out. Welcome to our show. And on today's program, we are talking with Cornerstone Advisors' very own Ryan Rackley. Ryan, how are you, sir?
Good, Mike. Good. Always good to talk to you, sir.
Yeah, likewise. And today we're talking about a very hot topic, contract negotiations. What you don't know can hurt you. And there's a lot of contract negotiations going on out there right now with all the third-party vendors and just all the fintechs popping up left and right. There's a lot of this going on. So it's very timely. Very timely indeed.
Oh, there sure is, Mike. And, you know, basically the white paper idea that we ended up coming up with started about February, March of this year. And I was thinking of writing just a short Gonzo Banker article. Right. A page and a half. And that was about it. I had a concept in my mind. You know, contract negotiating is what I do really 90% of the day, all day long, every day, working with clients. So, you know, when people ask me about best practices and things of that nature, it's really not. That's just my daily routine. Mm-hmm. You know, not giving it your all, not trying hard, letting contracts auto-renew, allowing pricing inconsistencies, aka overspending, right. Is not in my, I just don't do that ever. And I was wondering where the industry's at, you know, of banking institutions, credit unions in particular. You know, there's about 7,500 of them out there. I wanted to understand what's the state of the industry that I'm serving.
Right.
I feel like I do a pretty darn good job for every client that hires me. What keeps me up at night and worried about it is, where's the industry at? Because right now the competitive pressures out there, interest rates are declining. We've got compressed margins. Everybody needs cheap deposits. Mm-hmm. But you've got this chicken and the egg thing going on. Whereas if all of your money is going out the back door for commoditized services, you have no funds to spend on building for the future, which leads into less and less credit unions.
Right.
Which is not good for, you know, my mission is to help as many credit unions as I can and succeed against the big banks. So that's a long-winded way to say I wasn't quite sure where the market was at and I needed to figure it out. I thought I had an idea. And so the Gonzo Banker team talked me into doing a survey and the results were shocking.
Yeah.
Let's get down to it.
What are a couple of the results that, I don't want to steal all the thunder, but just maybe one or two of key findings that you guys discovered?
Oh yeah. Yeah. I got it right here. You know, the white paper is, so I took a couple of the key findings here and, you know, I'm trying to get the word out on this. So 75% of all financial institutions, credit unions in particular, negotiate their key technology contracts blind. So that's a concept that, what do I mean by blind? So, okay. Imagine this, Mike. You know, you've got a room there. So I think you're in a house, right?
Right.
So when you went to purchase your house, mm-hmm. did you A, look at market? Did you B, get an assessment done? So you kind of know what the right market price is?
Okay.
C, did you have some sort of a negotiation? Maybe you did it yourself. Maybe you had an agent. Maybe you had a buyer side agent. Maybe you had a broker side agent, seller side. So before you made that biggest purchase of your life, you kind of had an idea where you're at, right?
Right, exactly.
Negotiating blind means you would have bought that house by walking up and looking around saying, yeah, that's nice trim. Where do I sign?
Oh, wow. That's scary.
Period. Yeah, it is. And that's what our entire industry is faced with. So
wow,
that's what we mean by negotiating blind. So the executives in the industry out there are not professional contract negotiators. They're not professional buyers of technology software solutions. They're bankers, mm-hmm. you know, mm-hmm. they know how to do a really great mortgage. They know how to do a really great indirect car loan. They know how to protect your money. And so the deck is stacked against credit unions.
And one of the surprising things that I saw was that credit unions are actually spending more than banks on technology. There was some, I can't remember the exact percentages, but I saw that and went, oh my gosh, what's going on mm-hmm. here? So.
Well, yeah, it all you know, that concept boils down to the nature and makeup of a credit union. Margins are thinner when your target market is consumer. You know, yes, we can go out there and service a certain aspect of businesses, the treasury management aspect of it, but ultimately, if your primary goal in your business is to drive mortgages and indirect car loans and non-interest income with debit cards and service fees, mm-hmm. You're not getting into the big 20 million commercial notes with a four handle on it. I mean, that, you know, where the operating leverage is trickier.
Right.
So you do have to spend more as a credit union than banks.
Gotcha.
However, there's a range of acceptability for the technology out there today. And a big concept that we see the winners practicing out there is a concept of reduce to redirect. To survive long-term and in today's market, it has to be digital first. That's where everything's going. Mm-hmm. And so you, to be able to compete effectively as a credit union, it's taking advantage of commoditized services out there and reducing what you bought yesterday mm-hmm. to make room to invest in tomorrow.
Right.
So it can be done, but it does take a very specific focus and effort. And that's what really drove the white paper mm-hmm. was that we wanted to get the word out on, okay, great. How do we do that? And what are the steps? What are the concepts mm-hmm. that you got to be thinking about to know what your true north looks like?
Mm-hmm. Indeed. One of the other findings that you guys saw that there was a problem with auto renewing. So tell me about mm-hmm. the problem with auto renewing.
Okay. Yeah, it's necessary out there because it can be strategic to do some auto renewals. But what happens in an auto renewal cycle is the typical trajectory of a key technology contract is you set it up for a term, maybe it's 5 years out of the gate, you know, and so the day you sign that contract, you're hopefully at market, highly competitive because you just negotiated. And then over the contract term, you have annual price increases, which typically, you know, 3 to 5, I've even seen some at 10% per year. Mm-hmm. Not the ones I've negotiated, but the ones I've helped people with. And so over time, you'll get, and the idea behind that is that the vendors, as it's a major services-based industry, which it is, they need the ability to increase their prices to match up to inflation. Inflation has averaged 2.4% over the last 15 years that we use against the CPI.
Yeah.
But when you get above that, and also factor in that you're growing, your cost of the technology, the incremental uplift outpaces is higher than where the industry's at.
Yeah.
So you have to rectify that. If you don't, in an auto renewal cycle, it just continues on.
Mm-hmm.
That's exactly it. It automatically renews. Also, as the vendors out there in the community, you know, we're all aligned. Our industry's got a great set of people that everybody's working to align and reduce cost, add revenue, reduce risk. Every business runs that way. And the vendors do too. And so as they also decrease their cost mechanisms, auto renews don't allow them to pump that back into the contract. And so this whole concept of reduce and redirect only happens when you're at the table talking.
Mm-hmm.
Because across the U.S., it's corporate culture. It's no one shop individually, but no one's going to negotiate against themselves,
yeah.
Right? If you're the seller of your house and you've got somebody walking in the door that'll buy it at 30% over market, would you sell it to them?
Over market?
Yeah, if you could get a 30% premium on your house and by just saying yes, yeah, see, there you go. It's there's no malintent. That's just the way our society works.
Right. Oh my gosh. Hey, let's talk about some negotiating strategies that don't work. You pointed out a couple of them in the report here. One of them was tire kicking. Can you tell us about tire kicking?
Oh, sure. Yeah, tire kicking is if a credit union wants to get leverage, the ultimate path to leverage is gaining knowledge. So I need to know where market's at to where I can gain the confidence to get where I need to go. So tire kicking is really calling up, you know, vendor B and saying, hey, dude, can you give me a bid for core? And then hang up the phone. Okay. And they're going to say yes. Now, here's why that doesn't help you. Because in our industry, like a core contract, digital cards, these are major services driven contracts, very expensive. And so what you're going to get is basically a false sense of security when you do that, because to get an actual bid that's priced right, you have to go through a certain amount of steps. You've got to make sure that the solution actually solves your business needs. They're not all the same out there. It's not so commoditized. Banking is, there's, you know, commercial lending versus mortgage focus versus consumer debit card focus, et cetera. Mm-hmm. So it's got to match. B, you've got to be engaged at the table for the vendor to even take seriously. C, you've got to go through and negotiate it, because everything is negotiated in the business-to-business contract world. That's just how it works, mm-hmm. because they're customized by nature. If they're not customized, you fail for other reasons. So I guess you have to go through all of that process for a competitive bid to be actual, realistically at market and a viable alternative to use at the negotiation table. Right on. So tire kicking is that. You call them up, hey, vendor B, can you give me a bid? You know, yeah, I got $2 billion in assets. Thanks so much. Talk to you Friday. So do you think they're going to take that seriously? Right. That's tire kicking. That's why it's a false sense of security. So okay. If without that, I would still do it. I mean, it's, you know, and most vendors out there would be happy to give you a bid. It's just that it's unfortunately not a very leverageable item at the negotiation table.
That would be more like step one to me in a many-step process. You know, so
yeah.
let's start a conversation instead of just the bid. So, okay. The next one was haggling down the vendor. That's the other strategy that doesn't work. So give us a quick summary of this.
All right. So quickie summary on haggling. Let's say, a good one. So I compare it to buying a car.
Yes.
All right. So there's two versions of this. So the price haggling version is you walk onto the dealer lot and the one right under the sign of the store, the nice Mustang, right? You walk in there, Mike, and you say, oh my gosh, I love this car. I got to have it, as the salesman's walking up. And then you turn to him and say, Mr. Salesman, give me your best price on this. And whatever he tells you, you're going to accept as, well, I asked him for his best bid. So that's got to be right, right? Okay, so that's one version of it. The next version is you go in there, same car, same situation, same goal. I got to have it, but you tell him a long story. I've been to 5 different car lots. I've taken a look at all those others, and geez, that new Lexus is sure nice, man. And so I'm thinking about that. I know it's more expensive, but boy, I can just see going out to dinner with my wife in that car, and it sounds pretty cool. But I'm willing to talk to you about this Mustang. So can we talk? Okay, so two different scenarios. One is what I was talking about in the paper, which unfortunately in today's busy environment, credit union executives just may not have the time to develop a story and sit down and think it through and have all those other options out there. All they may have is, well, I got 30 seconds, so I'm going to, you know, call them up, say, give me your best price. Okay, great. Last and final offer. Good. We're done, I guess. So just having it, taking it seriously as you would your largest key client or your member base, and then just having a story. That's a big deal of what I do every day.
Good deal. So why is this information so important today to credit unions out there? Obviously, they want the latest and greatest products and services out there to, you know, to best serve their members, and not only today, but well into the future, that type of stuff. So how does this information help them get to that goal?
Okay. Yeah, very good question. I mean, size up the materiality. If you take a look at, for every billion in assets at a credit union, there's $1 million in pricing variance for the same products and services. Mm-hmm. So it really, the question is, you have, as a credit union, you got to ask yourself, where do I want that million to go? Mm-hmm. It can go to the vendor's stockholders, their constituents, or I can pump it back into the credit union and create member delight and a better member experience. You know, it's really a choice of where do you want those dollars to go? They're going to go somewhere. Mm-hmm. So it's either you or them.
Okay, gotcha. And let's see here, what else is there? So where can we find out more information on this report, because this thing was full of information. And oh my gosh, we could go on for another half hour, but I know you got a job to do, Ryan. But where can we find out more information, or where can we find the details on this report?
Yeah, the details on the report, it's posted on the Cornerstone website, free download. So it's readily available. We're trying to get it out there as much as possible. We're also going to be doing some webinar later this month on it as well. So hopefully anybody listening can join on to that. And I'm always available to talk through it. Obviously, I care about what I'm doing. And, you know, my mission is much bigger than myself. I really do want to see the industry succeed. And this is one of the things that is very difficult, because there's so much work there. You have to follow a framework and a methodology to win.
Due diligence is what I think I've heard it called a time or two.
There you go. I'm a simple guy. I like having a plan. Indeed. That's it.
Hey, and the next time I buy a car, can I bring you with me?
Oh yeah. Yeah, exactly. But you got to buy a Mustang. I love it.
Deal. All right, Ryan. Appreciate the time. Thank you so much. This is such valuable information. So appreciate the time and all the information. This is good stuff.
All right. Thanks, Mike.